Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In today's show, we're broadcasting from the Minnesota State Fair for the Military Appreciation Day, and we're honoring the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls on their 100th anniversary. We've got a great slate of guests today, but before we get to them, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and a chance for us to talk about what's being done and what help is available for our service members and their families. Suicide is indeed a societal problem. In addition to local, state, and federal resources available to all citizens regarding suicide prevention, in the Minnesota National Guard, we have placed a special emphasis on suicide prevention education within our ranks. Our comprehensive soldier and family fitness program teaches life skills to service members and their families. Our trainers are helping service members cope and deal with life issues in a healthy and beneficial manner, and implementing resilience training throughout the force. We also have suicide intervention officers spread throughout our ranks who receive special training to respond to service members in crisis. They help identify at-risk behaviors and act as a first line of defense for service members who might be contemplating suicide. Developing resilient National Guardsmen requires a comprehensive and collaborative approach. We must encourage our soldiers and airmen and their families to develop their coping skills and come forward and seek assistance when things become more than they can handle. There is no shame in seeking help.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the governor of Minnesota, Minnesota's 40th governor, was born in Minneapolis and raised in a house in Long Lake. He has two grown sons, Eric and Andrew. He's worked throughout our state to help businesses locate or expand and create jobs, to improve government services, to better fund our public schools, to support our servicemen and women, and to help Minnesotans get the health care they need, and in many other ways to make Minnesota better. Governor, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be back here with you again.
Governor, we always look forward to our Memorial Day show when you join us and we talk about Memorial Day and what that means to everyone. But today we just finished the ceremony here at the Minnesota State Fair honoring our 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. And that was a pretty great ceremony, wasn't it, sir?
It was a fabulous ceremony. And, of course, this is a more upbeat day than Memorial Day, certainly, although some of the soldiers we're honoring today with the 100 years of the Red Bull were also on Memorial Day for the ultimate sacrifice they made on behalf of our country. But it was very touching to all the streamers that they've earned through campaigns going back to World War I, World War II. It makes me very, very proud to be a Minnesotan.
And, Governor, I think a lot of people may not realize that the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division served more days in frontline combat in World War II than any other unit during the war.
I didn't know that, but it's not surprising because they've always been ready to step forward and step into the thick of the worst battle situations when called upon. And, you know, next year they're being called upon again to deploy over to the Iraq war theater. And this is, for some of them, will be the fourth, fifth, sixth, even seventh time that they've deployed. And we are at 118% of strength. So these are men and women who know they're going to be put into combat, separated from their families for a year or more, and they're willing to come back and do it again and again because of their patriotism and their heroism on behalf of our state and our country.
Yes, sir, and they sign up and reenlist over and over again, and they've been deployed many times while you've been commander-in-chief, and all the reports we get on Minnesota Military Radio is they've performed fabulously.
Best National Guard in the country, everyone says, and I certainly agree with them.
Well, you've had a good run as commander-in-chief and a couple more years to go. But, Governor, I want to ask you about this past legislative session. You've had a lot of victories, or we had a lot of victories to take care of our veterans, our service members, and their families.
Well, we were fortunate in the Minnesota legislature. There's broad bipartisan support to support our military, support our National Guard, support our veterans who have returned home. So the increase in funding for the Veterans Affairs Department as well as for the Guard, the tuition reimbursement for Guardsmen and women wanting to continue their education, over $16 million in bonding for various projects, including Fort Ripley and elsewhere. We can't do enough to thank over 370,000 Minnesotans who are veterans who served our country in times of need, and this is a small repayment.
And Governor, on your watch, we've been able to build a couple of state cemeteries for our veterans so that they can be buried up in Little Falls, another one down by Rochester, and there's one that you got some funding for up in Duluth this year.
That's exactly right. We've got $1 million for Duluth, and again, I think this is something that means a great deal to veterans that they can be buried with their fellow service members, and it means a lot to the families, and it's, again, a small recompense so we can provide for the service they've provided to our country.
Yes, sir, Governor. If they can be buried closer to home, it's a lot easier on the families. And what a great event to build those three and a fourth one coming. And you've certainly done a lot to support our veterans and their families, sir.
Well, we can't do enough, and they deserve every bit of it. And I want to give the due credit to General Rick Nash, who's now going to be retiring as the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, and I've selected as his successor General John Jensen, who is now the commanding officer of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, and has been really General Nash's number two for the last several years. So it'll be a continuity of leadership and experience and the commitment to excellence that General Nash has certainly demonstrated. I just have so much respect for him. I met him first when he just returned from Iraq in 2010, and I thought, here's a man with military experience and combat experience, and he's also got a huge heart. He cared about the people in Iraq that he was working with, trying to preserve their safety. And he's just a superb commander of the Minnesota National Guard, and we'll miss him. But I know that General Jensen will carry on in that same tradition.
And, Governor, I don't think most of the people in Minnesota understand, as Commander-in-Chief of the Minnesota National Guard, you and your Adjutant General share a close working relationship and spend a lot of time together.
We do, and it's been good time with General Nash, and I know we'll continue with General Jensen, both here in Minnesota and nationally. Both generals are very highly regarded by the Washington, the National Bureau Guard in Washington, and that's really important, not only to have Minnesota have a role in our national defense, but also to make sure that we're getting our fair share of the resources that go to the Guard men and women around the country. We frankly deserve more than we're getting, and we need to do a better job. I need to do a better job of making our case in Washington.
Governor, the President of the United States has appointed you to serve on the Council of Governors Committee, which is responsible for advising the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Homeland Security, the White House Homeland Security Council on matters related to National Guard and civil support missions. Do you have some goals for this year?
Well, I want to advance Minnesota's cause and see that we're recognized. As I said before, we're 118% of strength, and there are Guard units in other states that are 80%. So their 20% difference should be going to our 20% difference, and we're not getting the commensurate resources that we need. So I'm going to fight very hard for Minnesota, and also just know that they already know that we have got the best Guard in the country, and we're ready to serve both the Army and the Air National Guard. And I don't think there'll be any problem with everybody calling upon Minnesota, but I just want to make sure that our interests are protected.
Governor, I think also a lot of people in Minnesota aren't aware that with your close relationship with the Adjutant General, you watch all of the deployments. You know that there's a federal mission for the Minnesota National Guard, Army and Air, and also the state mission. You call them up for disasters and floods and all of those things. You spend a lot of time paying attention to where our soldiers and airmen are going and what they're doing, don't you?
Well, of course, once they're federalized, they're under the command of the President of the United States. But I'm certainly aware of what's going on. I'm aware of the enormous sacrifices that these men and women are making, and their families separated for months, even over a year. And say the fact that they come back again and again to be willing to step forward is just extraordinary. But we've had, fortunately, with what's going on in Texas now, we've been spared something of that magnitude. But we've had floods and tornadoes and other disasters in Minnesota where the Guard has been just essential to support local law enforcement, provide support to citizens, rescue people who are in trouble, and protect the integrity of our state.
Governor, we're just about out of time, but as Commander-in-Chief of the Minnesota National Guard, is there a moment that you're most proud of?
I'm just very proud of our Guard and very proud of all the men and women who serve, their patriotism, their heroism, the families that support them, the employers. It makes me very proud to be a Minnesotan.
Governor, thanks for joining us today, and I hope the rest of your term is as good as the first part has been, and that you have a good relationship with Major General John Jensen.
Thank you, Tom. I'll see you here for next year's occasion.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to Memorial Day and next year here at the fair, sir. Thank you.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk to the Minnesota's Adjutant General.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we are recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, where we've recognized today the 100th anniversary of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. My guest this segment is going to be Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's a pleasure to be with you again.
Sir, this is a steady date every year out at the fair. I'm always happy to see you. It was quite a ceremony this morning, and 100 years of a division. That doesn't happen every day, does it?
No, but as you recall, there's a number of divisions that are celebrating their 100th anniversary this year, the same as the 34th Infantry Division, from around the nation that back in the day when we could see some war brewing in Europe, and the president at the time, and he really didn't want to become involved in the European conflict that was starting out, was sort of somewhat forced into it at the end. And so they thought ahead and mobilized organizations and units and started to conduct large-scale training, and certainly the Red Bull Division, known then as the Sandstorm Division, was mobilized and sent to Camp Cody, New Mexico, where they trained in the desert and in austere conditions. And if you fast forward, it seems like we're back in Southwest Asia in austere conditions in the desert. So,
sir, at that program this morning up at the Lining Lodge, there were a lot of people in the audience, a lot of veterans, and of course I saw quite a few service members in there. And you know, the governor was there to talk about the division, and the division commander was over there, and you had our state senators over there. It was quite a program.
Tom, it was in my 7 years of doing this since the state fair board has conducted Military Appreciation Day, it was the largest crowd that I've seen. Certainly a lot can be contributed, I believe, to the weather, but certainly the historical event of being recognizing the 100th anniversary of the Red Bull Division and the brand name that we have throughout the upper Midwest, and certainly here with the Red Bulls in Minnesota, I think also brought people out to acknowledge this significant event in our history.
Sir, the Red Bulls are so prevalent in Minnesota that a lot of people think that whenever they see a soldier wearing a U.S. Army uniform, he's a Red Bull, or she. That's not really true, is it?
No, we certainly have other soldiers that are in organizations not aligned with the 34th Division, but everybody acknowledges the fact that either they are, have been, or will be a Red Bull probably sometime during their service career.
And that might be true, sir. General, we don't talk about it as much now because the big deployments have kind of come and gone. There's another big deployment coming up next year, but how many soldiers and airmen do you have deployed around the world at this time?
Well, there's just shy of 500. Tom, that are deployed, large organization that's in Guantanamo Bay doing detainee ops. The 257th MP Company is down there conducting that operation. We also have a large contingent today as we speak that's from the 133rd Airlift Wing that is in the Southwest Asia and doing operations there, and they're switching out airmen as we speak. They already have done a tour, and a new group is going over to backfill them, if you will. They sort of call it heel to toe or rainbowing. And the aircraft that we have from Minneapolis are also deployed to Southwest Asia, conducting operations for Central Command,
which are the C-130s from
Minneapolis. Correct, C-130Hs that are in Minneapolis, and we're very proud of the air wing out there and the maintainers and the pilots and the navigators and the entire support organization that allows us to be able to mobilize airmen on short notice and pack their gear and load their aircraft and fly halfway across the world and conduct military operations.
General, you spent your career in the United States Army, the Minnesota Army National Guard, but when you became Adjutant General almost 7 years ago, you're in charge of the 148th Fighter Wing and the 133rd Airlift Wing. Airmen, a couple thousand airmen under your command too, sir.
And I notice you're smiling, Tom, as a former airman.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that the organizations have, you know, certainly worked together, and there's great teamwork in the Joint Force Headquarters that we have in St. Paul. And we bring senior individuals into the Joint Force Headquarters to get a flavor for how you do joint operations, not only in Minnesota as we support the governor, community, and the state missions, but also at the national level. So it's been a great marriage that we've had for many, many years, as you know, since we've had an Air National Guard in Minnesota. But we try to make sure that we support each other and the state employees that do a great job. It doesn't matter whether they're Army or Air, our state employees that supply them with our personnel and directions and policies do a great job supporting Army and Air in the state of Minnesota.
And, sir, you were blessed with two outstanding units with the F-16s in Duluth and the C-130s in Minneapolis.
We are. And, you know, the C-130s, as I mentioned, they're in a mobilization right now. And so then they're also going through some modernization of their airframes. So that's going to take some of the aircraft out of operations for periods of time. And the 148th Fighter Wing, Duluth International Airport, is going through reconstruction at this point. So all the aircraft have basically left Duluth, other than those that are going through phase maintenance in their hangars. That'll be probably for the next 2 months. But the bulk of the aircraft have left and gone to Nevada to conduct training. And then when they return, they'll return to Volk Field in Wisconsin and still maintain pilot and crew proficiency and maintain maintenance over there, because the runway won't be completed in Duluth until the end of October. So either our aircraft are in hangars or they're in another state conducting training and operations.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. General Nash, in the news the last few days, of course, we've had all this hurricane and trouble down in Texas. The Texas National Guard, I understand, is out in force, and the governor said you're standing by if called upon.
Well, the governor's correct. I spoke to him this morning prior to the ceremonies at Delaney Lodge and informed him that we've been asked by National Guard Bureau the availability of certain pieces of equipment, primarily a rotary aircraft, our helicopters, our UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters and our CH-47 Chinook helicopters, to move people and rescue people and to transport supplies if required. So they have a multiple capabilities within those organizations based out of St. Cloud. And so we anticipate that we'll get further information possibly today or tomorrow, again, based upon weather conditions. And my understanding is the rain is not stopping in Texas. So we may be called upon, and we're ready to execute that mission. Our pilots are ready, and our crew chiefs and our maintainers. And so if asked to do that, we'll do a cooperative agreement with the state of Texas. And the governor fully supports the tragedy that the Texans are now undergoing.
General, we're coming down to the end of your 7 years as Adjutant General. I imagine it's a bittersweet time of your career with you've got a couple months left as the boss here in Minnesota. Been a great career. Looks like a real a heck of a run the last 7 years from my vantage view, telling the stories of all your soldiers and airmen. What are you thinking about towards the end of your career now here, sir?
Not doing weekly updates on Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Has it been that painful, sir?
No, it's been a great success getting the message out about what we do in the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard, and what you do with the VA hospital, the veterans organizations, the commander's task force. And I could go on and on and on about the value that you've brought through 43 stations across Minnesota, and the value that provides is just immeasurable, Tom, and I can't thank you enough and Clear Channel for doing this at great expense, providing that to those radio stations, to include my great station where I live, K-Check Radio Station, and Tom Gessinger, my great general manager, who's a great supporter now of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, and the value, and I have people come up to me all the time. For some reason, they get up early in the morning on weekends to listen to the program, probably before they go out to do chores and go off to work. So it has a tremendous coverage throughout Minnesota, and our veterans and their families and their service, and our service members certainly support that program venue that you have, and the great work that you do volunteering to do this. And you've been a great host, and we just can't thank you enough and Clear Channel.
Sir, it's been an honor to be the host of this show, especially for an aging Vietnam veteran, and kind of fun to have started the first show on the first day that you took over as Adjutant General. And looks like we'll have another 7 years that I'm going to have to keep this up, because the governor announced who your replacement is, who the next adjutant general is going to be, and he asked me if I'd stick around for a while.
Well, I'm glad that our commander-in-chief and governor, Mark Dayton, is indicated to you who that's going to be, because you could have tortured me all day long, and I was not going to divulge the decision that the governor had made.
Sir, we're not sharing that either. This show won't be heard till Saturday after he makes the announcement, but it looks like we've got another great general officer that's going to follow in your footsteps, and it should be a lot of fun to tell those stories for the next 7 years. And, I want to thank you. You've been a wonderful supporter of the show, and we're going to, next man up, we're going to keep up the work, sir.
Well, that's great, Tom, and I'm glad you've signed on for another 7 year contract with Clear Channel, because you've been a great host and a great voice for all of us in Minnesota and all veterans.
Thank you, sir. One last question. What's next for Rick Nash after he's a retired two-star general?
Well, I just hope to be able to blend in with the great citizens of Minnesota, pull the shades on my windows, and quit living in a glass house, and because everybody looks at what the general is doing, and so I just sort of want to meld in to the general public, probably keep entering grandfather contests until I win it, spend time with my bride of, I guess, just 44 years and a couple days, who has also served.
She's going to have to get used to having you at home again, sir, but I'm sure that'll be fun. Sir, we just got about 30 seconds left. What would you have to say to our listeners who are thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, it's possible to serve a long, long time.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, the young men and women that we have today are just smarter, more intelligent, and technologically savvy and astute, they just have a great career and multiple choices. You know, when I came in, it was sort of infantry and artillery, the major ones. But now we're into the cyber areas and UAS, unmanned aerial surveillance type vehicles. And so the capabilities are out there. The types of equipment we have today are really challenging. But the young men and women that we see across Minnesota, I think, would find a great dual career in the National Guard. If not, certainly they ought to look at it for the educational benefits that we have for our new enlistees, for college or technical schools. If they didn't have the wherewithals to do it on their own or their family, we can certainly provide that. And so those are some, just off the top of my head, some great benefits for selfless service in the Minnesota National Guard or any reserve component that they desire to go into, or active duty, as you did, Tom, serving us greatly in Southeast Asia during the thing called Vietnam.
Thank you, sir. And, General, I need to remind you, a little bad news, you're scheduled to be on the radio show one more time before you're done so that we can cover those 7 years in a little more depth. I'm looking forward to seeing you on the show, and I wish you all the best of luck in the future, sir.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks to all of your listeners for supporting this radio station and what the great work that you do.
Thank you, General. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a moment, we'll visit with the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division Commander. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and my guest this segment is Major General John Jensen. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be with you again.
Sir, you've had an exciting year. You took over as commander of the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, and you were promoted to a two-star general. It's been a pretty good year so far.
Attack, attack, attack. It has been a very good year for the Jensen family this year, and very proud, very honored, very humbled to be the division commander right now, especially at the 100-year anniversary of our great division.
Sir, we were over at the program this morning at the Liney Lodge, where the theme this year was to celebrate the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division's 100th birthday. Can you explain to our listeners what all happened? And you were putting some streamers on the flag over there, too.
Yeah, we did. We did what was called a streamer ceremony, where we acknowledged every streamer that the divisions earned in combat from World War I through World War II and then through Iraq. But what we're doing is we're celebrating the centennial of the 34th Infantry Division. Like all eight National Guard divisions that are currently formed, we celebrate our 100th birthday this year. And then five of the 10 active duty divisions also celebrate their 100th birthday. And so we were formed in 1917 on the cusp of World War One. Soldiers from Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, all merged down there in Camp Cody, New Mexico, and trained for war in France at Camp Cody. And although the division didn't fight as a division, all of our soldiers and most of our officers were sent to the front lines and fought with other organizations during World War One. So Senator Franken, Senator Klobuchar, Governor Dayton, we're all part of the ceremony today. It was a wonderful ceremony, a beautiful day, beautiful weather. The 34th Red Bull Band was there, you know, providing that great performance that they provide. And a great event, very well attended. I was surprised at how many people found us today. But a great day at the fair, in part because it's Military Appreciation Day.
You had a packed house there this morning, sir, and to celebrate the 100th anniversary of a legendary division that can really trace its roots back to the Civil War.
We do. You know, we go all the way back to the 1st Minnesota, formed, mustered at Fort Snelling, right there at the cusp of the Civil War. As many of our listeners know, as a Western state, our formation should have fought in the Western part of the Civil War theater, but we didn't. We were sent out east because Governor Ramsey was with President Lincoln and made a commitment that he would send President Lincoln a regiment. And so our 1st Minnesota went out east and fought in all the major campaigns in the Eastern theater through Gettysburg.
And were really critical in turning the tide at Gettysburg.
We were. And so the legacy of the 1st Minnesota lives with 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry Division, to the last man is the motto, earned at Gettysburg that day when General Hancock, the corps commander, came upon Colonel Colville and asked them how long they could hold the line. Colonel Colville said, to the last man. And so we live with that legacy, that heritage, that tradition, that proud tradition to this day across both the Army and the Air Guard in Minnesota.
And a big division that served more days on the front line in World War II than any other unit. And, of course, you've been deployed frequently since September 11, 2001. And the division, from all reports that I get, sir, has performed marvelously.
Yes, you know, we have a very high tradition of performance, not just in Minnesota with the 34th Infantry Division, our 1st Brigade, our Combat Aviation Brigade, but 2nd Brigade in Iowa as well. I've been to Afghanistan twice. It's been in Iraq. A great organization that I came from. I was kind of born and raised in 2nd Brigade, if you will. And so there's a lot of esprit de corps. There's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of honor with wearing that Red Bull patch. And soldiers want to wear that patch, and to be able to wear that patch and earn that patch in combat is a very special thing.
We're speaking with Major General John Jensen, the commanding general of our 34th Red Bull Infantry Division on Minnesota Military Radio. General, I understand that you've been notified that there's a deployment coming up next year.
Yes, on August 12th, we notified the division headquarters in our headquarters battalion that in September of 2018, the division will mobilize and deploy to Kuwait, Jordan, and other parts of the CENTCOM AOR for a mission. So we're very excited about that opportunity. We're going to work hard to prepare for that opportunity, and we'll go over and we'll do the work that the Red Bulls are famous for.
So, General, between now and that deployment, is there an exercise coming up referred to as a warfighter exercise to get better prepared?
Yeah, previously to being notified to deploy, we were already on pace to do a division, what's called a division warfighter. And that's really where your division gets to display to the Army how well you can do military operations in a multi-domain environment, what we call a multi-domain environment. And so we were already scheduled for that, and we will continue to conduct that exercise. But in addition to that, now we will add all the pre-deployment tasks that are associated with going overseas and going into a theater of combat.
General, some of our listeners may not understand this, but I've talked to several soldiers that have been notified that they might be on that deployment. And to a man and a woman, they're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, we really are. We, you know, one of the great things about the Minnesota National Guard, both the Army and the Air, is our soldiers want to serve, our airmen want to serve. So they're looking for opportunities. And it's not something that anybody's going to run away from. And so we've all been in the service long enough to understand that, you know, this comes with service, and we're prepared to do that. We're willing to do that. And we want to do that. Now, I tell you that the excitement of your first deployment is a little bit different than the excitement of your fifth deployment. I can tell you that, Tom. But, you know, we're in a great position. The division's very ready, as is the entire Minnesota National Guard, Army, and Air. High state of readiness, great soldiers coming from great communities with great community support, with our Yellow Ribbon Network and such. So we're in a great position.
Mr. General, we've talked about this before, but there can't be a man or a woman in the Minnesota Army or Air National Guard that doesn't know that deployments is part of serving today. And they reenlist anyway, and they come back, and all the young soldiers and airmen I talk to say deploying is a way to learn more and to be eligible for promotion, and they're excited about it. And civilians might not be able to understand that.
No, you're right, Tom. I mean, it's something that you want to have as a soldier or an airman. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the things that we're looking at right now, at least along the officer corps, is identifying those officers that haven't had the opportunity to deploy, because we want to give them that opportunity, because we know that further down in their career that that's going to be a criteria for promotion potentially. And so we want to make sure that every one of those officers get an opportunity to serve. And without a doubt, every one of the officers that we went to and talked about this, they all eagerly said yes, absolutely. And so, you know, it's what we do. It's you know, we join to serve community, to serve state, and serve nation. And this is our next great adventure, our next great shared adventure, and it's great to be a part of.
And General, you've been through that process in all your years in the service, and you've been deployed, and you've had a lot of experience. And we're coming up to a time this year where General Nash is coming to the end of his term of service, and you applied to see if you could be the next Adjutant General of the state of Minnesota, and the governor, the Commander-in-Chief, informed us this morning that you're going to be the next Adjutant General of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. It's a next step up, sir, and a big challenge, I would guess. The next 7 years, you've got a lot to do.
Well, you know, the Minnesota National Guard is an organization of excellence. And so following Major General Rick Nash and Major General Larry Shillitoe, who I know you know very well, you know, it's an honor. And I'm very humbled by Governor Dayton giving me the opportunity to serve in this role. And it's a different role. I'm going to leave the part of the Army that deploys. And now I'm going to be, you know, as the Adjutant General and a Commissioner of the Department of Military Affairs, I'm going to have a different role in the military now than what I've always had. So it's going to be different. It's going to be a great challenge. I look forward to serving the soldiers, the airmen, and our families and our communities. You know, the one thing that's not going to change is the Minnesota National Guard is going to be ready. We're going to be ready every single day, always ready, always there. You don't have to look any farther than what's happening in Houston, Texas right now with the flooding that's going on there. The entire Texas National Guard has been mobilized by their governor to support that operation. And while we've never had a catastrophe like that, we need to be prepared to respond to a catastrophe like that. And we will be, as we have been in the past. So I look forward to the challenge. I just look forward to serving with the great soldiers and the great airmen of our organization and supporting our families, whether it's the 34th Infantry Division deployment or someone else's deployment in the Air Guard. You know, my role is going to change. I'm really not, although I'll be an Army officer, I won't really be an Army officer anymore. I'll be an Army and an Air officer, because the Air National Guard now will be my responsibility as well, and I look forward to it because there's great airmen over there in the 148th and the 133rd. Can't wait for that.
General, we wish you the best of luck in the new assignment, being the Adjutant General of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard, and we look forward to telling all the stories of all the adventures and all of the service that your soldiers and airmen are going to be putting in over the next 7 years. And best of luck to you, sir, and we'll be here to tell those stories.
All right, Tom, I look forward to it, and I'm putting my dibs in on Memorial Day, okay?
Sir.
So don't be trying to replace me on Memorial Day. I'm still coming in, all right?
We'll look forward to that, sir.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, General. That was Major General John Jensen, who will be the incoming Adjutant General for the state of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a moment, we're going to check in with the Navy League to see what's going on with the new ship construction. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And in a moment, we're going to get an update from the Navy League of Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner. A weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Through the Program and Services Division of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, we assist veterans from all eras of conflict, ensuring they are connected to the benefits and resources they have earned through their service. We recognize that while veterans have made tremendous sacrifices for this country, families serve too and are eligible for many federal, state, and local programs. We administer and highlight a number of health and disability-related programs for Minnesota veterans and their families. These include benefits and services in the areas of disability claims, outreach, dental, optical, special needs, homelessness prevention, and health information on issues like depleted uranium and hepatitis C. For personal assistance and more information on these programs, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org or contact your county veteran service officer.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now to talk about the Navy League of Minnesota is the president of that organization, Brian Scott. Brian, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, always good to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Brian, we met you several years ago, just before they commissioned the USS Minnesota, and a beautiful $2 billion platform in the United States Navy. And as soon as they were done with that, they had to do a little upgrades to the systems and some other things and train some new crews. It's got a new captain now, but it's ready for a deployment, isn't it?
That's right. She was commissioned 4 years ago on September 7th, 2013. And she is now set, after some maintenance upgrades, she is now set to do her first six-month deployment sometime in the fall.
And you've been in contact, close contact, with the captain and the chief of the boat. How are our sailors doing on the USS Minnesota?
They are ready to go. Commander Tanaka is ranking up to captain soon, the captain rank, the 06 rank, and he is taking the boat on its initial deployment. So, in effect, he's making history, because for the first time since 1907, a ship named Minnesota is deploying in defense of our country.
Well, we hope all of those submariners aboard the USS Minnesota have a good mission. And Brian, I know that you've got some events coming up. What's going on October 14th?
Well, every year in Minnesota, we have a United States Navy birthday ball celebrating the, this year will be the 242nd birthday of the United States Navy. On October 14th, our website's navyballmn.org, navyballmn.org, and it is a public event. We welcome our civilian and veteran supporters.
And where's that going to be, and what's the dress?
The dress is standard dress is suits and gowns, full dress for military, but we're more concerned about attendance than we are concerned about dress. And it is at the Old Northland Inn. It's now called the Northwest Marriott, Marriott Northwest.
So that's the 2017 United States Navy Birthday Ball, October 14th, 2017. Open to everyone, and for all those old sailors out there listening, get down and say hello to some of today's service members.
Well, what's most important is our speaker for that event is the second in command of the United States Navy, Vice Admiral, Vice CNO, Admiral Bill Moran.
Great opportunity to hear an experienced Navy man come and get everybody motivated and tell some stories.
Yep. He's got some business that's going on right now with some of the issues with the Navy.
We're talking with Brian Scott, the president of the Navy League here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Brian, we've got some exciting things going on over on the east side of Wisconsin. Can you tell us about it?
It's hard to say, but a bunch of Green Bay Packerbackers are building the next ship that's going to be tied to our state, and it's going to be named Minneapolis-St. Paul. We had a submarine named Minneapolis-St. Paul, number 708, and this is going to be a surface ship, basically a small frigate. Called USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, LCS-21. She is under construction. Her keel authentication ceremony will be in January of next year.
So can you explain to our listeners, when they build a ship, it goes through several stages. They have to, can you explain the stages?
Absolutely. There's three main ceremonies, and the first ceremony is keel authentication. And that is when the ship's sponsor, in this case a Minnesota native, Deputy Undersecretary Jody Green from Northfield, Minnesota, she etches her initials into the keel of the ship. The next one is when we launch it. That's christening. And then the final one, where the Navy takes ownership, is the commissioning, and she is officially a United States ship.
So So we're going to try to go over to eastern side of Wisconsin with you a few times and follow that ship and make sure that our listeners all over Minnesota know about the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul coming to life.
Absolutely. We appreciate the support.
Brian, we've just got a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask you about some stuff that's been in the news lately. There's been some accidents with some Navy ships, and how are our sailors doing? How's the Navy doing? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing a lot, quite frankly, and I'm reading a lot. And the bottom line is that there's a general feeling that, and a very, more than a general feeling, there's those 17 sailors that were killed in those two accidents should not be dead today. Some serious training issues, some serious funding issues that reduced training, reduced manning, and the Navy is looking hard at itself. In fairness, the Navy admits it and is really looking hard at itself, doing an analysis to try to make sure that never happens again. But ultimately, those two accidents, there should have been watches. They should have seen the ships. It shouldn't have happened.
So for our listeners out there, you might want to talk to your congressman about the budget cuts, sometimes known as sequestration. We need a bigger Navy, and we need more sailors, and they need more time to train.
Well, the net is exactly that. If we basically have to ask you, the citizens, and Congress, what do we want our Navy to do? The reality is we're asking our Navy to do more in terms of foreign policy than, as part of the foreign policy, than the ships we have.
Brian, we just got a few seconds left. Always good to see you, especially out here at the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. A lot of sailors out here today, too.
Yeah, we've got there's a lot of veterans. I'm seeing a lot of T-shirts, and I so appreciate their service to our country over a number of years.
Well, Brian, thanks for joining us today.
And thank you, Tom.
Brian Skahn from the Navy League here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Governor Mark Dayton, Major General Rick Nash, Major General John Jensen, Brian Skahn from Navy League, and Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs from the Minnesota State Fair. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.